Good morning. If we can open with prayer. Father, as you and I have prepared this speech, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit works through me to get out what you want out of this message, Father. I can't do this without you, Father, and I know this. I pray that you just be with me, be with our congregation, and just watch over us, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my speech starts with a specific date. September 30th of this year was an exciting day for me. I woke up in the morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I knew that I had to do two things. One was to come to church, because Mr. Ryan from Northwest Area School District was coming here to speak on how they started up a Christian Bible class at school. Well, not really a class, more of a club. And I was excited to hear that. But the other thing I was not so excited to do was I needed to talk to pastor about something. And I knew I needed to talk to pastor about it before the service started. But when I walked in the building, pastor wasn't here yet. And I said to Miss Marcy, I said, "Where's pastor at?" She says, "Oh, he's running late today." Of all days for pastor to be running late, I needed to speak to him. Well, it wasn't meant to be. So, and if anybody knows, pastor never runs late. You always have the worship group here, and then pastor's usually here, and then everybody else after that. But that particular date, he was late. So I'm going, well, I'm not talking to pastor this morning. I'm going to have to wait till after the service. Well, as Mr. Ryan and his family came up here and spoke so boldly, bringing Christ into a public school. That is unheard of anymore. They so much have taken church and state and separated them, and there's just so many people out there that will, the ACLU, for one of them, they just don't want that to be combined ever. And he was so boldly, and his daughter was so boldly, about actually doing it and bringing people to Christ through the school district. Awesome. That's just an awesome thing. Well, after he got done speaking, and his family got done speaking, and his daughter got done speaking, what I needed to talk to pastor about was no longer an issue. You see, that morning I needed to talk to pastor because I had no intentions on coming up here today. I just didn't feel it. I didn't know why. But I just didn't feel that I was good enough to be up here. I'm too much of a sinner. Sin is just a horrible thing in everybody's life. No matter how much you try to keep it out, something always creeps in. And you're like, Lord, I screwed up again. And I just didn't feel that I was perfect enough to be up here like pastor's perfect. Or like Jeff's perfect. Yep. Or like Chris is perfect. And you know what? After that message, I realized I wasn't perfect, and the Lord wanted me to come up here and speak. But what I want to speak on is the struggles and why I wasn't going to come up here today and the excuses that I was going to come up with, because that's all they were excuses. So let's start it off. Number one excuse, I'm too much of a sinner. There's no way a sinner should be up here speaking because all pastors are perfect. It's not true. It's not true. There's sin in each and every one of our lives, and there's not one of us up there that are perfect. Now, my sin wasn't a sins, I should say. We're not a sexual sin or a physical sin, but more my mouth. I don't know when to shut my mouth sometimes. And also, my thought process. This little pea brain up here just doesn't think before he opens his mouth once in a while, or his thought process. A few years ago, my wife and I were in family, we're on a cruise, and there was a couple there that was the most gorgeous couple I've ever seen in my life. The guy himself, he was probably 240 pounds, and his muscles had muscles. I mean, he was huge. He was just a great-looking guy. Can't admit it, you know? And the girl, she was definitely a model. She was hot, plain and simple. She was just a good-looking girl. Now, is there anything wrong with me and Kim saying things like that to each other? No, there's not. But what is wrong is the thought processes that can come up afterwards. There were things in my head that came up that should not have been there. And that is hard to control. Now, in my 20s and 30s, things were definitely a lot harder to control. As I get older, they're easier to control. But it still doesn't make it right for me to think about that that way. Now, when it comes to my mouth, a while back ago, my boss at work, he asked me to head a project to reinvent the wheel for the most part and just go about making this particular piece of equipment that's an older piece of equipment, newer, modern. And I said, okay, I'll make up some drawings and we'll come up with something here. So I gave the drawing to him the next day, and he looks at me and says, "Yeah, I don't want to do it that way." I said, "Okay, what do you have in mind?" He says, "I want to do it this way." I said, "You're the boss. If that's what you want done, that's what we're going to do." So it took me about 3 days of cutting and welding, putting a new processor in, wiring, I mean, just a whole bunch of different stuff to get this particular machine up and running the way that he wanted it to work. Well, 3 days later, I seen him in the morning. I said, "Do you want to go look at this machine?" And he goes, "Yeah, we'll go look at it." So we went out on the floor. We're looking at the machine. He says, "It's just not operating the way that I thought it was going to operate." I said, "Okay, what do you have in mind?" He said, "I think I'd like your idea better." Well, I seen red. I was hot. Now, my boss and I have a very good working relationship. We've spent a lot of time with each other on the road when we did some traveling to some different states for some seminars and stuff like that. So I know him fairly decent. He's a good Christian, and we get along well. But that day, we didn't get along so well. I lashed out at him. He lashed out at me. And when it was all said and done, he's my boss. I'm his employee. I did it his way anyway. Or my way anyway, and you know, it was another 3 days on top of it to get it done again. But you know what? The next day, we hashed it out, and we both realized that we were wrong. Like I said, we were both Christians, and we got over it. But it wasn't right of me to act like that. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, a Christian or not. You really shouldn't act like that anyway. But that's my mouth. And it gets me in trouble once in a while. Another thing I was having issues with, or still having issues with, listening to gossip and judging people after gossip. Now, when you do gossip, when you're talking about people or even listening to it, what you're listening to can really stick in your head, and Satan can really pull you the wrong direction there. Because, I mean, you're really talking about someone behind their back that you don't have any clue if it's even true. And it's not a good thing. And Satan's tricky. Satan is so tricky on everything he does. You think you might be doing something for the good, and you're listening to gossip and judging people on gossip, and that's not the case. He's tricky. He's just a tricky devil. But I want to get into Matthew 9, 10 through 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate. Sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy, who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Even pastor, even me, even anybody in this building, there's not one of us here that hasn't sinned. We're all guilty of it. And all we can do is repent of it when you realize that you have done it. And when it comes to these three things that I just listed off, that's all I can do. As I realize that I did something wrong, is ask Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for being dumb with this little pea brain head I have up here. And if we can turn to 1 Timothy 1:15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, this is Paul, who used to be Saul, speaking to himself after he's basically starting to write all his chapters for the New Testament. And he still explains that he is still a sinner. Now, I don't know, I'm sure everybody does, but I'll explain it anyway. Paul was Saul, and he was the main persecutor of the Christians when Jesus extended up to heaven. He watched Timothy be murdered and stoned, and he went to the high chief priest and went to him and said, I want to take all the Christians out of their cities and bring them back here to Jerusalem and throw them into jail. Well, that never got fruitful, did it? Because we're going to get into that here in a little bit. The next excuse I was going to use was I didn't want a disciple because of the worldly effects that come with it. And what do I mean by that? You have someone that you're wanting to speak to and they say, you're a Christian? That old-time religion? That doesn't make sense in today's world. Well, how do you combat that question or that question that they have for you? Well, it's an easy question actually to answer. If you turn to Hebrews 13:8, Christ Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. What goes on today might be a lot worse than what was going on back 2,000 years ago, but the Bible says that it's no better, that everything that's going on doesn't make it any better. Sin 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, today is the same as it was yesterday or today. It's just sin is sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter. Knowing that people have tough lives and trying to explain Jesus to them, I think this is why I have been having a hard time discipling the people over this particular instance that I have with not a close friend, but a friend of mine now. His name is Jeff, and we've met a few times. Now, Jeff is not a Christian. Jeff has had a tough spell lately. His daughter was riding in a vehicle with her boyfriend, and they got into a car accident, and she was killed. And her boyfriend was broke. Well, he's spending time in jail for that instance. And when he was talking about this, it just seemed like I needed to talk about God to him. But on the other hand, something was telling me, this is going to end badly. This is going to end badly. And I didn't listen to that. And boy, I should have listened to that. I started talking about Jesus and forgiveness and stuff like that, and I got ripped apart. I don't know how many here have ever discipled before and gotten torn apart, but it ain't fun. It's very tough to take. Now, he got over it, and I obviously didn't do anything else after that, but I didn't listen to what God was telling me. I think God was telling me, you need to speak to him, but not now. And I didn't listen to that. It wasn't my time to talk to him. And it's been a little bit tough talking to people ever since. If we can turn to Acts 8:1-3. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, dragging off men and women, and putting them in prison. I'm worried about talking to one person and our Christian brothers and sisters were being dragged off for believing in Christ. Just believing. That's all it was. And I'm worried about talking to one person. Now, yes, I knew and realized that it wasn't my time to talk to that person. But when that time comes up again, I believe that I need to. I believe I need to. If our brothers and sisters 2,000 years, our brothers and sisters today in other countries that are being persecuted for believing and talking about Christ, I think I can talk to one person in this free country. If we can turn to Acts 9, 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard voices say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. It did not eat or drink anything. Why did that happen? Well, Jesus knew how hard Saul was working against him. And I believe Jesus knew how hard Saul could work for him. And he knew that it was just going to be something that was going to be absolutely amazing. You're talking about the main persecutor of the Christians. And now you're talking about the main voice of the Christians. Just like that. That is absolutely amazing. In some ways, I almost feel a little bit like that. I mean, one day I was a non-believer, didn't know what was going on. The next day, I was a Christian. And I wanted to speak boldly about Christ. And I still do. If we can go to Acts 9, 20 through 22. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called out his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. Literally, he had the scales taken off his eyes and he went right into preaching, right into doing what Jesus wanted him to do. He went from, he did a 360. He went from persecution, persecution, persecution to "You are the Lord." I just can't fathom that. That is just absolutely amazing. Saul Paul is an amazing person. He wrote most of our New Testament. Most of our New Testament he wrote. I'd like to talk to Paul when I go to heaven one day and just to see what he has to say and how he did it. My next thing really wasn't an excuse, but I think it had a lot to do why I was going to make up excuses on why I wasn't going to come up here today. I wasn't paying attention during my Bible readings. Now, I do read the Bible every day. Now, my Bible reading isn't a traditional reading that everybody uses. I use the time that I have from home to work. It's a Bible app called Through the Word. And basically, you got different chapters and stuff like that that, you know, you have a couple different preachers that talk about what the subject is on, and they talk about it, break it down, which is great for me because I'm, like I said, I got a pea brain head. And they break it down, and then they go into the Bible chapter verses. But I'd be riding to work, and it would be playing in my car, and you know how much I was paying attention to it? Not much. I was thinking about things I needed to do at work, things I needed to do at home. I got to pick up the kids from field hockey practice. I got to do this, I got to do that. Before you knew it, the whole Bible lesson was over. And they started right into the Bible verses. I'm like, oh, I missed all that again. Let me get into the Bible verses. I'll catch it in the Bible verses. Well, I'm listening for the first 2-3 minutes, and then, well, I got to do this, and then I got to do that. And, oh, geez. And before you know it, the whole Bible lesson was over, my whole 20 minutes, 30 minutes before I get into the next one. I'm going, well, I got nothing out of that whatsoever because I can't concentrate. And I didn't figure out why. I couldn't figure out why. You know what? I talked to a wise person about this, and I said, what do I do about this? I swear I have ADHD. You know, I've never been tested for it, but I swear I have it. And this very wise person said to me, he said, before you get into your Bible verses, pray. Pray that you can pay attention to what you're supposed to be paying attention to and not everything else from the worldly view. That works. That works. I pray every time before I get into God's word, and it works. And I'll tell you what, when I do forget to pray, I remember real quick I need to because my mind is just scattered. My next excuse I was going to use is I just don't have time to come up here and speak. Now, if you talk to Pastor or you talk to Jeff or Chris, this isn't something that you can just slap together in a day. Not for me, anyway. This is something that I need to spend time on. This is something that I need to focus on. It's not something that I just can slap together last night and here I am today. It takes time to do. And I just didn't feel that I had the time to do it anymore with everything that was going on in my life. That's a sore excuse for God. God wants you to spend time with him. Even if I wasn't coming up here to speak, I still need to spend time with him. That's how I get further into my relationship with Christ, is speaking with him, having him speak back to me. And you have to make sure that you listen. If you don't listen, you're not going to get what the Lord is saying. My next excuse, because all these were just excuses, things that were going through my head of what I was going to say and why I wasn't coming up here today. I'm just not a strong speaker. That was going to be my next excuse. Do I consider myself a strong speaker? Absolutely not. I do not consider myself a strong speaker at all. The only reason I'm up here today is because I have the Holy Spirit working through my body right now. If I did not have him up here, I'd be a puddle. I'd be a mess. There's just no way that I could handle the nerves. As I was talking to my wife this morning, I said, you know, my nerves, they're just itchy. They're scratchy. I'm just twitchy. And she says, well, you're speaking today. She says, I couldn't do that. And it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But what did God say about not being a strong speaker? Well, he wrote about it. So we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to Exodus 4, 10 through 12. This guy right here is my Old Testament hero. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, which is persuasive, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. That is me. I stumble. I stutter. But you know what? This is sounding okay up here to me. I don't know if it sounds okay to you. Because I have the Lord with me, and I've asked him to help me through this. I can't do this without him, and I thank him so much for being part of my life. I might not be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect, but it's just nice to know that God is on my side, and when I screw up, he's going to be there to pick me up. And I think the toughest one is the next thing that I was going to use for an excuse. It just didn't seem like I was hearing God's voice anymore. And I don't know how many people here that's happened to, but that's a lonely feeling. It just never seemed like anything good was coming up to this pea brain up here. It just seemed like everything seemed to be not good. And you know why that was happening to me? Because when God did finally answer, he told me what it was. And I wrote it down so I didn't forget it. I couldn't hear what God wanted me to do because I wasn't listening to what the world had for me, not God. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge Phillies fan. And when they start in April, right up till they got knocked out in the playoffs in October, I spent a lot of time watching stats, watching games. And it ate up a lot of my time when I should have been spending more time with God. I should have been reading in my Bible. Instead of on my breaks at work playing on my phone, I should have been reading my Bible, and I wasn't. I was letting the world take over me, and it was affecting my relationship with God. And everything was just unraveling. But when he finally spoke to me and told me these words, I started getting back into what I should have been doing in the first place. God wants everyone to hear his voice and messages for us clearly. The key is to forget about formulas and gimmicks for hearing from God and to focus instead on developing the kind of relationship with God that will empower you to hear God speaking regularly. At one point, I was so desperate to hear from God again that I tried doing gimmicks. I would show up, my work schedule, I start at 10:45 at night. So I would get there 15 minutes early and pray with God. Now, when I mean 15 minutes early, at 10:30 is when I started praying. Not 10:31, not 10:29. It had to be 10:30 because I thought at that point, it made a difference when I was speaking with God. Does God care when you're talking to him? No. He just wants you to talk with him. It doesn't matter if it's at 1 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. God just wants to talk and hear and listen and speak back to you. Gimmicks just don't work. Don't ever think that gimmicks will work because they do not work. I'd like to get into a neat little video I thought was really perfect for what I had to say today. If you guys could start that video up there.
In life, we hear many voices. The voices of others, our voice, God's voice, and that of the enemy. With these many voices, it is very easy to get confused. In today's video, we will talk about 5 signs that God is talking to you. The question is, are you listening? In today's busy world, we get crowded with too many voices. We are unable to hear what God is saying to us. The first thing we need to know is that God is always speaking to us. We just don't listen. And some of us do want to listen, but for some reason, we just can't hear Him speak. God is a God of signs. Just like He gave the rainbow as a sign that He wouldn't destroy the earth again with water, He will always show us signs. Now, before we go into the signs that indicates that God is talking to us, there are some things that we need to know about God. Number 1, God hears our prayer. Psalm 65 verses 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. The psalmist acknowledges that we have a God who is able to hear our prayer. So don't wonder if God hears your prayers. He does. Number 2, God is always speaking to us. This point was made earlier on, but sometimes repetition is needed to drive the point home. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 verses 20, Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Now, this verse isn't for a specific people. Jesus didn't say He's only talking to a group of people. He said, if you hear my voice, He's talking to all of us. And God is speaking, and anyone who will hear Him and invite Him in will be a happy person. Number 3, God always answers prayers. John chapter 16 verses 24 says, Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be complete. You may be thinking, does God only answer some of our prayers and ignore the rest? The answer is no. God answers all our prayers. The issue is with our expectations. God might be saying yes, but what you want is a no. Because you're looking for a no, you may not hear God's voice. No matter what we think or feel, God always answers prayers. But it might not be what we want, but He surely answers prayers. Number 4, we cannot bully, force, or in whatever way make God answer our prayers the way we want Him to. As we have said earlier, God always answers prayers. So there's a popular saying that goes, As long as there's a man to pray, there is a God to answer. But God is sovereign. He can choose to answer in a miraculous way. He can choose to answer otherwise. But just expect an answer, and don't think that you can force God to answer you the way you want. Number 5, we don't hear God because we don't listen. Now, many people do not know what prayer is. Prayer is not just talking to God, it is communicating with Him. So this means that we ought to both talk to Him and listen to Him. Now, most people just pray and leave without hearing from God. Then they begin to wonder why God does not speak to them. So let's make it a point of duty to listen to God after we speak to Him. Number 6. We cannot make God speak to us the way we want Him to. God cannot be limited to our ideas and our desires. He is our Creator, and what He wants the most is a relationship with us. God wants intimacy, and He wants us to be able to hear Him every moment. But most people are looking for grand experiences. They want God to speak to them through an angel or through dreams. Imagine this. You're at a conference and you need God to quickly remind you of something you've forgotten because you're about to make a speech, or he wants to tell you to meet someone that will help you in your career. Then you suddenly fall asleep and God shows you a dream. And by the time you wake up, what do you think people will say? Maybe you were standing and you just dropped down and the people surrounding you will call an ambulance so you can be treated. Can you see how sometimes you allow God to speak to you? Because most of the time, it doesn't make sense the way we want him to speak. So now that we've settled this, here are 5 signs to show that God is talking to you. Number 1. Through the inward witness. Quick question. Have you ever felt a knowing about something? Even when you're asked, how do you know? You sometimes can't explain it, but you're just so sure that this thing is right or wrong. And then after a while, you see you're correct. This is called the inward witness. As a true believer, the Holy Spirit resides in you, and he is the one that gives you this type of knowing. God communicates with us by his Spirit to our spirit. Then our spirit will pass it to our minds. And this will then be impressed in us to form this knowing. Now, the more time you spend in God's presence learning his voice, the easier it'll be for you to hear him speak. Number 2. Through dreams and visions. This is another way that God can speak to us. God can give you a dream or a vision about yourself, like he did for Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, verses 9. It says, "Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." So God can be showing you dreams or visions, and this is a sign that he is talking to you. Number 3. Through the audible voice of God. Now, this isn't very common, but God can speak to you loud and clear. You will hear an audible voice and you will immediately know that it's God. And just like Saul, who later became Paul in the Bible, you may hear God speaking to you. Number 4. Through other people and other means. God can also speak to you through other people. It can be your pastor, a little child, or even a signpost. God is able to speak to you however he wants, and some people became Christians by reading tracts. Some made decisions through a billboard as they were driving somewhere. Yet the most important thing is to be attentive to God speaking. Number 5. Through his word. This is the primary way that God speaks to us. God always speaks through his word, and he will never say anything that doesn't correlate with his word. So God cannot contradict himself. He cannot bring up any new thing that isn't in his word, because he already knows all things. And this should be our primary guide, so we don't get misled by the other signs that you think that God is giving to us. For example, God might be telling you through the inward witness that you should love more. Does this correlate with scriptures? Yes, it does. Or you keep hearing that you should lie against someone that hurt you. You may even dream about it and see the clear steps to take. Still, ask yourself, does this correlate with scriptures? Then if it doesn't, then whatever you heard or saw is not from God.
I have a question. Is, are we listening? I know we all speak with God, but are we listening for his voice in one of those ways? If we're not, we need to get in touch with him. We need to be reading his Bible. We need to be listening for his voice. We just need to be speaking with Jesus, and he will speak back with us as long as we don't let other things in the way of it. As long as we leave the worldly things out when we're looking for an answer. I thank you for this time up here. Father, I just thank you for the message that you've given me, Lord, to speak with this church. I hope and pray that my message, your message, was beneficial, that it was spoken clearly, that people understand where we were coming from, Father. Because this wasn't me, Father. This was you. Without you, I can't do this. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being an amazing dad. Because you are our dad. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.